From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 20th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial industry, location-based information, technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today, we'll talk about OpenStreetMap. Last week, the State of the Map conference wrapped up. So we'll look at the state of the map. All that and more after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Join us for a free U.S. nationwide seminar to learn how to extend the reach of your GIS. Get more information and register today at esri.com/extendyourreach.
Just by way of background for our readers who may not necessarily be familiar with OpenStreetMap, OpenStreetMap provides a free geographic data source such as street maps and points of interest and a variety of different digital street digital information. The project was started, according to the website, because most maps you think of as free actually have legal or technical restrictions on their use, holding back people from using them in a creative, productive, or unexpected ways, unquote. The OpenStreetMap is funded or supported by the OpenStreetMap Foundation. It's a not-for-profit organization, and it was started by a gentleman by the name of Steve Coase. Now, Steve, we have had on discussions in Directions Media before. We've interviewed Steve, but last December, Steve left for Microsoft, and we kind of wondered whether the interest in OpenStreetMap would continue, whether there was enough momentum behind it, whether this mega crowdsourced database of geospatial information that was really spectacular in its utility during the Haitian earthquake, whether it would survive. In the case of Haiti, never before had so many people gathered to enhance and create a countrywide network. And this is really what OpenStreetMap has been known for, is gathering lots of people together, focused on a particular effort, and got something done and created a map where there really hadn't been much before. Hence, people can then take that information and use it in a way that is less restrictive with regard to the legalities of a license, and that's where it sits today. The structure of OpenStreetMap, according to Hank Hoff, who's the secretary of the foundation, said that there are now over 400,000 users of OpenStreetMap. It's constantly growing. And, of course, there are pockets that are more active than others. Germany is one in particular, but the groups that are involved seem to come together around crisis mapping. So the State of the Map conference that was held last week had about 250 people. I, unfortunately, nor Adina was able to attend, but we reviewed some of the blog reports and other published information that came out to give us kind of a flavor of where we stand. So, Adina, I'm going to stop there. Where do we stand with the State of the Map, and does the current activity in OSM lead us to believe that it's going to continue, whether there'll be some commercial business coming out of that, and whether it's got an ongoing concern, whether they've got the momentum behind it to actually continue as one of these driving forces in geospatial?
Well, I have to say I was excited about the idea that the State of the Map conference was going to be in Denver right before the Phosphor G conference. Those two kind of are related, and I thought that would be a real impetus to get a lot of action and activity and announcements and excitement around OpenStreetMap. And I have to say, I was disappointed that so little seemed to come out of the conference. Now, this could be a communications failure that we just didn't get the information about what's going on, or it could be that maybe not all that much that's exciting is going on. There were a handful of things that sort of percolated out, and they just didn't grab me. There was an announcement from Depiction at the OpenStreetMap conference about a product coming out in the fall for creating maps, sort of in case of an emergency, like if there's a flood, where should your family meet, that kind of thing. It wasn't even clear that it used OpenStreetMap, so that was a little odd. And there just weren't any big announcements. There was some technical stuff about rendering and using Postgres. There was no big news, and if I had to identify what was big news, it was actually news from July, And that news was about a report on a USGS prototype using the OpenStreetMap software to edit, and the long and short of that was it was successful, and I will quote from the abstract, "Resulting data were successfully improved to meet standards for the national map once the system and specifications were in place. The OSM software proved effective in providing a usable platform for collaborative data editing." So that's, I think that's big news. Somehow I didn't hear about it in July, and I did hear about it in September, but I'm not even sure if this is big news.
I think what this is saying is that it's one of those growing factors. It's a growth issue. The organization is far enough down the road where they're kind of discussing the underpinnings of both the foundation and the map itself. Maybe that isn't very exciting. And so what we see is that, yeah, there are communities out there, the map is being supported, but there really isn't any big news other than let's keep working on the map. But what I do see is that, as you just stated, there are several organizations that are beginning to use it in a much more important fashion, whether that's the USGS or the Ordnance Survey. These are large mapping organizations that are now looking at OSM and evaluating it for its utility. And that, to me, is a good thing. And again, it's a situation where it's the maturation of the whole movement.
Yeah. Well, it's terrific that all these big organizations are getting involved. The biggest of them all is probably MapQuest, right?
Right.
They were a, what are they called? They are
They're a big sponsor.
They are a tungsten carbide sponsor, which is better than a platinum sponsor, which is where Bing fell, for example.
Right.
News out of MapQuest lately? Heard anything about how they're using OpenStreetMap or encouraging the update of OpenStreetMap or... Have you used MapQuest with OpenStreetMap?
Yeah, and funny, just as an observation, every time I went
questions.
By the map...
You didn't answer my questions.
Yeah, no.
Is the answer...
I
the
didn't,
answers
sorry.
No? Be honest. The answers are
no.
No,
the
right?
answer is no. Yeah.
Okay.
But the involvement seems to be lacking, right? And maybe that's a problem with the entire open source community. I think what the commercial entities are looking at is, what's viable here? Is it going to be sustained? Is it useful to me in the long run? And I think that's maybe the question that you pose to an organization like OpenStreetMap, especially when the founder departs for a commercial entity. I think that's challenging to an organization like this. And splintered. I think there are splinter groups out there that take it upon themselves to work on one particular project or one particular geographic area. And that tends to be a less cohesive thing. But maybe that's the nature of a movement like this.
Well, it's definitely a hard thing because it's one of those kinds of efforts, like Wikipedia, to which it is often compared, that you've got to have a stable of people involved who are regularly either checking the data that's already been added and checking the changes, and are going out and filling in the holes. And that is a continuous effort that ideally you want people committed that, you know, one day every month they're going to go out and add some new data. And that's a very hard commitment to get.
But I think what has evolved or devolved, however you want to look at it, is that this foundation, this organization, thrives on crisis. Not a lot gets done unless there is a crisis to be had and data to be added, which you get that momentum behind a particular project and get things done and created. And that's the most value, the way I would see it.
That there seems to be great success in those crisis mapping, and it's called the Humanitarian OpenStreetMap Team, HOT.
And, HOT.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if there's an issue, the community really does come together and figure out how to get that map for Port-au-Prince or a project like Kibera, and those are, that's great. And to be realistic, if that's all that comes out of OpenStreetMap, that is a huge step forward for the planet. We can't say enough about those kind of efforts. On the other hand, the vision was far broader than that. And certainly an organization like MapQuest wants to see a far broader implementation in a viable map that can be used USA-wide and worldwide, especially in conjunction with the patch network of newspapers, which in the Huffington Post.
Right.
So there's a whole lot more, there's a lot of potential. And even right now, that potential doesn't seem to be being gathered. I found one story about one mapping party in Wyoming, in Laramie, that was in the last week or two. And interestingly, the goal of the event, I'm going to quote, this is the Laramie Boomerang. The event aimed to raise awareness of local geography, promote geographic literacy, and help make geographic information about Laramie freely available to the community. All great goals. But the OSM goal has always been the freely available data and the awareness of local geography and geographic literacy are somewhere down further. So maybe what needs to happen is that we need to look at OpenStreetMap's goals as this focus on local geography and spatial literacy, because those are real hot button issues right now.
Well, to sustain the map's growth, that would be a good goal to have, because you'd get the involvement of folks that would maintain smaller geographic areas. And if the movement could grow such that geographic literacy was the goal, then you could get more people involved, different areas covered, and the map would therefore grow.
I think there's some opportunities to look at the goal more broadly, is exactly what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, that's...
Now, the other interesting thing about this iteration of State of the Map is that one of the main proponents of OSM did not seem to be involved, and that institution is CloudMade.
I seem to be missing in action, eh?
Right, and if you look at the CloudMade website, I mean, it's still a growing concern. They bought a development platform for Android and iOS back in January, but that organization is clearly playing a different role than it has in the past.
Right, and I think we should explain that CloudMade was created more or less to commercialize the underpinnings of OpenStreetMap, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was their initial goal.
Right, and really did an awful lot with doing the outreach, getting the mapping parties together, sort of blowing the horn for OpenStreetMap. And it sounds like, just to be watching it from afar, that they're doing a pivot. There's something going on there where they're going to sort of change their focus a bit. And it's up to other, perhaps, organizations to step up and take on that role if OpenStreetMap is going to achieve that broader goal. And I'm really disappointed that all of the energies of Bing and ESRI and certainly MapQuest to take advantage of OpenStreetMap and create tools, and it sounds like Depiction is walking into that same space, hasn't generated a lot of energy. And the other question I have about that energy is, how much of that energy is coming from the geospatial community, that is people who do this for a living, and how much is regular folks that just think mapping is cool? And my thought is, for this to work, we need some of both of those.
Right.
And if only 250 people went to the State of the Map, and how many people went to Phosphor G? 900?
It was a little over 900.
That's interesting, because I would hope and encourage and try to get those communities to be more connected. And it sounds like maybe that didn't happen so much.
No, it did not appear that way, and I think the timing of the conference, having it over the weekend, there was a gap there. There were workshops for Phosphor G. Then the main conference of Phosphor G took place. So simply from a logistics standpoint, I was not able to attend. People just can't get to every single conference that there is. Let's try to make it more integrated the next time around. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that Understanding GIS, an ArcGIS project workbook from Esri Press, provides the data, software, and guidance needed to perform a complete GIS analysis for a spatially based issue. The workbook helps you develop geographic problem-solving skills as you work through a project using ArcGIS 10. For more information, visit esri.com/esripress. That's ESRIPRESS. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the section for comments where this podcast is posted on directionsmag.com. I'd like to remind you that on September 30th, our Rocket City Geospatial call for presentations ends on that day. We welcome you to attend this year, November 15th to 16th in Huntsville, Alabama. More information can be found at rocketcitygeospatial.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.